In the name of Jesus, amen. This portion of the gospel reading is the basis for our sermon this morning. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any one of you as a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink? And afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Population of the world these days, little less than 8 billion. It's a lot of people. You are one. I'm going to try to give you some pictures of what 1 billion looks like. 1 billion sheets of paper stacked up one upon another would be 8.5 stories tall. 1 billion seconds is 32 years. It's a long time. And if you were given $100 a day, $100 a day somebody gave you every day of the year, it would take you over 27,000 years before you would be a billionaire. A billion, that's a lot. And there is just a little under 8 billion people in the world currently. Where were you 100 years ago? You weren't anywhere. You didn't exist. And no one even imagined that you would exist. The world was getting along fine before you arrived, and it will get along fine after you're gone. Don't put on your headstone, gone but not forgotten. You won't have to be dead too long before you will be both gone and forgotten. Walk through any cemetery, find the old headstones, run your fingers over the inscriptions, feel it, and then remember there was a day when that grave was fresh and the inscription written on that tombstone was new. But now nobody knows or remembers anything about that person. Someday that's going to be you. Obviously, I missed the course on motivational speaking. Cemeteries are a good place in which to make major life decisions because it kind of helps you keep everything in perspective. The world does not revolve around you or me, even though we often think and act like it does. Nor is God waiting to see what you are going to do before he decides how to act. Although we have some input as to how we spend our time and our money, our heart beats only because God permits it to do so. And scientists really can't figure that out. I mean, scientists, they know how the heart works, but they can't really figure out, you know, what makes your heart start beating. It's really a fascinating thing. It just, one day it started. In fact, your heart started beating before your mother even knew she was carrying you. And it hasn't stopped beating since. Unless you had a heart attack and then it stopped maybe just for a moment. But it's kind of fascinating to think about. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus makes it clear how there's a tremendous difference between God and us. God, who made the heavens, the earth, and everything in them, also concerns himself with the smallest human being. It's one of the most wonderful things a person can think about. Little less than 8 billion people in the world. And God knows how many hairs are on your head. God knows what you think and what goes on in your mind. God did not have to make you. He didn't have to make a you. He wanted there to be a you. And so he made a you. And he wanted you to be with him forever. He is the creator, we are the created. He's the potter, we are the clay. And we are not in a position to make any demands on God. We have no rights to assert. We can't somehow bargain with God like he owes us something. And it's that truth that Jesus desires to drive home today as we remember that we are only unworthy servants. A Christian is to live without pretension before God. And what I mean by that is we are not to claim any special favor or any special privilege. Now you might think, well, obvious, how could it be otherwise? Nobody can command God to do things. No one can make God do something. And it's one thing to know that, but it's another thing to live according to it. It is really difficult for us to find our rightful place before God without somehow thinking he owes us something. Let me give you a couple examples. There are people who work hard, they behave themselves, they have a good reputation, you can trust their word. Maybe they don't go to church a whole lot, but you wouldn't call them godless. They really don't talk about their faith. They try to do the right thing, and in general, they are decent people. And you might say, well, maybe that describes you. If so, you know, how is it going to go for such a person after they die? And your response might be, well, I think it'll go fine. Shouldn't go any worse for them than for anyone else. If anyone thinks that they have a right to enter heaven, then that person certainly should as well. How do you know that? Why would you believe that? And your answer might be, well, you know, a person like that, they've tried to do their best, they've honored their marriage, they've been a good worker, and maybe in their heart they always believed in God, and maybe they didn't go to church as much as they should have, or they didn't pray like they should have, but you know, they have respect for God, and because of that, they should enter the kingdom of God. Such a person is very much mistaken. God is not obligated to receive anybody into heaven. Make a thorough study of the agreement God has made with us concerning entrance into his kingdom. And it's all in the Bible. It's written down for us. And you will find nothing there about a person getting into the kingdom because they are honest and try to do the right thing. The Word of God tells us that Christ is the door. And that leads us to God. And that applies to every day of our lives. And we enter by remaining in Christ. And that happens as we regularly use God's words, we go to church, as we receive the gifts of his body and blood. And that carries everything else. Problem is, we get concerned about everything else. How much of your time and your thoughts have you given to God? How many minutes do you spend in devotion to Jesus every day? And would you consider that seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness? That's a picture of someone deceiving themselves. Well, what about those people that are really faithful church-going Christians? And maybe this would describe you. Certainly among that group, we'd find those who know they have nothing to offer God and are redeemed by grace and purchased with his blood. But even for that person, we would ask, do you love your neighbor as yourself? Do you think life should go better for you because you try to be a good Christian? Jesus says that those who follow him will be hated by all for his name's sake. And yet we kind of bristle if somebody says something offensive about us being Christians or maybe our church. The Word of God says that through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom of God. The Word of God tells us we are blessed when we do not see and yet believe. And yet somehow we feel that if I follow Jesus, if I try to do the right things, God should make things go my way. I should get what I want. My life should be smoother if I follow Jesus. Jesus never promised that. It's quite amazing. If we continue to search our souls, we will discover it's really hard to get rid of that feeling of entitlement that we often have before God. And so we get dissatisfied with God. We grumble when God doesn't let us get what we secretly hope for as payment for our devotion. Before God, we have nothing to demand. We have no entitlements to which we can lay claim. God doesn't owe you anything. But here is something even more amazing. The more we see how much God owes us nothing, the more we see how much He has given us. In our parable, the farmer takes advantage of his servant for his own sake, for the farmer's sake. The farmer is thinking only about himself. God's not like that. God thinks about us. And so when God demands our obedience, it is for our sake. Every command, every demand that God gives is also a piece of His love, because He knows that when we follow His word, when we obey Him, that we will actually find all that we have been looking for. To live in opposition to the Almighty is to strive against His powerful love, and that striving, it doesn't last, it can't last. It's like one snowflake trying to fight against the storm. Neither can a handful of dust rule in rebellion against God. And so you're to place yourself in God's hands. Lay aside your selfish claims. It's not about you. It's about Christ. And I brought an object here for a little object lesson. You know what this is? This is a mustard seed. Your faith, my faith, is not this big. If it was, we'd put the local tree service businesses out of business. Your faith and my faith is not this big. Don't let that trouble you, because it's not about you. It's not about how big your faith is. It's about how big your God is. And how big is your God? He's the creator of all things, heaven and earth, all things, and He made you and redeems you and loves you more than you realize. Abide in His word. Your God is big enough for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.